Good evening. Need the help of the Spirit, so we're going to pray. Our Father, our God, we love you so much and we thank you for being an awesome, almighty, and all-powerful God. And we do stand on the promise that as we gather here, that you will meet with us and that you will send your spirit and that you would use the power of your spirit to help us hear you and understand you and wring out from your word joy and peace and understanding that will go beyond our normal ability. You are all powerful, and we need the power of your spirit to do all these things. And so we pray you will shower down your spirit, helping us now as we seek to worship you in the preaching of the word. We love you and we praise you and we thank you and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So there's a word or an expression that we use universally, and it's become so common that it's actually used throughout the world. It's an interesting expression. It's okay. Okay. When we text now, someone says, "Hey, I'll meet you at this time." Sometimes all we do is okay. Now we've gotten so lazy that we just do K. So, but it's very common, right? It's something we don't even think of. And it's interesting enough, it's universal, it's throughout the world. You will hear people refer to or use this expression, okay. But the question is, where did it come from? Where did the word or the expression okay come from? And linguists and historians have struggled over the origin of this okay, the expression. The first one, and it seems to have started in the 19th century, 1830s, around there. And back then, they used a phrase, all correct, all correct. But apparently, like in our day, we like to modify words a little bit, and it would be all correct, OLLKORRECT. So the O and the K then got abbreviated. So it was all correct. Then they thought over time it kind of gained a little. Like a fad, and it was okay. And so there's one prospect of where this phrase or this expression came from. Another one was from an Indian word that's spelled OKEH. And so during this time where the natives, Americans would speak in English, they would finish this and they would use this Indian word. That says it's pronounced okay, OKEH, and it meant it is so, or it is indeed. But I like this one, which they say is probably not likely, only because we lived in the hometown of Martin Van Buren, which was the eighth president, and he lived in a town called Kinderhook. But back then it was called Old Kinderhook. And so when he signed off on official papers, he would sign his name and he would put OK, which really was good for Old Kinderhook. And so when we lived there, that story, obviously was where they thought the, but in, they think that Van Buren really just catapulted it to become commonplace where we often use this phrase or expression, OK. But it's something that we do I don't even think we think about it, right? It's kind of just built into our vocabulary and it has caught on worldwide. Interesting. It's very interesting. And it's interesting that we really don't know exactly where it came from. But when we turn to our prayers, and I did not coordinate this sermon with Pastor Marty, I had no idea he was going to preach on prayer. I had this prepared a while ago, or I knew what I was going to preach on. And so it ties in to prayer again. And by God's providence, that's probably exactly, not probably, it is exactly what he wanted, right? So, what are the three most important words in our prayers? Very common. We all use them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. These are the three most important words in prayer. And the problem is it becomes so familiar in Jesus' name, right? So we pray and in Jesus' name, or we mumble through it, or we speed through it. It's just a tag along, right? Have we, like, okay, become so familiar with it, we don't even think about the idea of what the meaning might be behind using that expression. And so tonight, I'm going to highlight six facets of the meaning or the usage of in Jesus' name. Why do we do that? Or what's the reasoning? But more so, what are the aspects of why that got tagged on to our prayers? So interesting, not one single prayer in the Bible ends in Jesus' name. Not one. So normally we are mimicking something that we have in Scripture, but there's no prayer that we know of, that I know of, or is referred to at the end, it says in Jesus' name. So where do we get this? It's like this mystery, right? Where did it develop and how did it develop? And why do we end our prayers often with that three words, with those three words in Jesus' name? We have rather in the Bible these types of phrases. Acts 2:38. We baptize in the name of Jesus. Or Acts 3:6. We heal in the name of Jesus. Or we teach in the name of Jesus. That's Acts 4:18. Or we exorcise demons in the name of Jesus. Acts 16:18. Or in Acts 4:30, and we perform wonders in the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul goes on and tells us, do everything we do in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17. But we have the clearest teaching on praying in Jesus' name, through which comes from Jesus himself. And so the night before he was betrayed, he repeats himself three times. And we see in John 14, verse 13, we have Jesus' last words to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And in all three chapters following, he mentions the power of praying in his name. He says in John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, he goes on to say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, John 15:16. And then he goes on, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, John 16:23. So in this repetition, we see how critical this kind of prayer would be for followers of Jesus. And we learn from that. So we learn from that and we drew from that, right? And so what I'm trying to do is is show the importance of why we end our prayers using that phrase, in Jesus' name, those words. And by doing this, I want to just highlight six aspects or facets of these three words in relationship to our prayers. And the first one is access. God listens to you. When we pray in Jesus' name, we have access. So we pray in Jesus' name, we rehearse our only reason for believing God will actually hear our prayers. We dare to bow before the Father only because the Son chose to bow on the cross. Before he encourages disciples to pray this way, Jesus says to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. No one comes except in me. Right? So there's, but everyone who comes in my name will be received, heard, and loved. His life, cross, and resurrection lifts our prayers into heaven. Jesus goes on to say, and this is important, I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. John 16:26 and 27. In other words, I don't have to ask him anything for you anymore. No, in me, you can ask Almighty God, our Father. I thought that was a strong point. Our access to the Father has been granted, or we have now access to the Father because of Jesus. And when I first thought about this, most of the time I think of, we pray to Jesus and he collects our prayers and he cleans them up and then he brings them to the Father. You know, that's the mindset I always had before, right? But in essence, we are praying to the Father. And the reason we have access to the Father is because of Jesus. And so there we have in Jesus' name. Second aspect, love. God chose you and me as a Christian. We are believers. And this is another reason we pray in Jesus' name. God doesn't only listen to our prayers because Christ died for us, but because long before his Son was born and took the cross, he already chose us. He chose us, right? He decided based on nothing in or about us to love us and save us in Christ. And we call that the doctrines of grace, right? So we are elected. God the Father loved us before the foundation of the world, before Jesus appeared on the scene. You did not choose me, Jesus says, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. John 15:16. I chose you so that your prayers would have power. That means every prayer we pray in his name is an opportunity to remember the undeserved wonder of our election. The God of heaven and earth, the one who made all this, to whom we rejected and assaulted with our sins, chose to love us. And if he had not chosen you or me, you would not believe, much less pray. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. John 6, 44 and 65 says that. So that's the second facet. We have access through Jesus. God the Father loves us. He loved us before the foundation of the world. Third facet, third reason. Power. God can do anything. God can do anything. So another reason we use this phrase or these words in Jesus' name is because of power. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he left his disciples, but he didn't really leave them. Before he rose into the clouds, he said, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 20. But literally, he was leaving, right? He was leaving them. So what does he mean? Because he had told them, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You see that in John 14, 16 through 17. By the Spirit, Jesus still lives with us and within us. Therefore, his name is a constant reminder of his abiding and satisfying, empowering presence. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. There's the power. Apart, our prayers are nothing without the power of God, of the Spirit leading us in that prayer. Jesus, in Jesus' name, John 15, 4. In his name, anything is possible through prayer. Do you believe that? Apart from his name, we can do nothing. Now, that's power. When we pray and we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying in power. So we have access. God loves us. We have power in our prayers because he is indwelling in us. Fourth facet, safety. Safety. God keeps your faith, right? So he preserves our faith. So safety. As he comes to the end of his final words, he says to his disciples, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. John 16, 1. I've repeatedly told you, among other things, to pray in my name so that you will not fall away from me, so that you won't fall into temptation and make shipwreck of your faith. Fearful days were coming, days that would strain their faith, if that's possible, to the point of breaking. In the world, you will have tribulation. He warns them of a few verses later, just a few verses later. But take heart, I have overcome the world, John 16, 33. And in my name, you will too. So having these words on our lips as we finish our prayers, we can find that our faith is being preserved. As we go, we have safety. So our prayers in Jesus' name are not only accomplishing great things out of the world and among those we love, but they're doing something supernatural inside us. Through them, God is fortifying our faith in God. He's exerting his infinite power to guard our love for him. 1 Peter 1:5. He's exerting his infinite power to guard our love for him. Prayer is perhaps the single greatest way that God works in us the kind of heart and life that pleases him and will persevere to the end. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Confidence. Fifth aspect, confidence. God won't dismiss his son. Why won't the Father ignore the prayers in the name of his son? Jesus tells us, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, verses 13 through 14. The glory of God himself is at stake in our prayers, even our seemingly small and insignificant prayers. And God will not surrender or violate his glory. That means no prayer is insignificant to God. He will answer our prayers in Jesus' name because he's fiercely devoted with all his sovereign might to the exaltation of that name. For God to disregard requests made in the name of Jesus would be abandoning his reason for creating the universe and his glory. Our prayers then aren't just in the name of Jesus, but for the name of Jesus. And that means when we pray in this name, we join Jesus in doing what he most loves to do, what he's utterly, eternally resolved to do, this is Jesus, to glorify God. We should have confidence that God will not dismiss our prayers, no matter how insignificant or small, when we approach him in the name of Jesus for his glory. Sixth one, last one. Reward. Your joy will be full. Where do we get that? Jesus gives us at least one more great incentive to pray in his name, always in boldness. He goes to say, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask, and you will receive, what? That your joy may be full. John 16, 23 and 24. And just a chapter earlier, in John 15, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So God answers our prayers in Jesus' name for the sake of his glory, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And God answers our prayers in that name because he wants us to be happy as possible, that your joy may be full. Those are the two great ambitions of a healthy prayer, of a healthy prayer life. The glory of God in the fullness of joy. What's the chief end of man? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. So those are the two great ambitions of a healthy prayer life. The glory of God in the full, the most possible joy in him. through that. And so that's kind of like the same prayer, like one prayer, right? Two ambitions, but they're really one. Same, two sides of the same coin kind of thing, right? Two ambitions of our prayers. In Jesus' name brings glory to God, and it brings joy to us in him. So the unity of these two goals, the glory of God and the joy of his children, is clearly preserved in the act of prayer. And so therefore, Christians will, above all, be people devoted to earnest prayer. It's our chief end. Just as the thirsty deer kneels down to take a sip from the brook, our characteristic, our posture before God is to kneel down before him in our prayers. How do we end our prayers? How do we end our prayers? Do you rush through them in Jesus' name? Is it the softest point, right? So you pray boldly, and then you taper your voice off at the end. What does it sound like? What does it mean to you? Is it important? Or is it just a tag along? Is it just because we heard someone else pray that way, and so we think that's just the way we do it, right? I hope by just highlighting these aspects and enhancing our awareness of what could be behind these three words, in Jesus' name, that we would slow down as we finish our prayers and savor them. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm not saying you have to say those exact words. I'm not trying to put any kind of mechanical aspect to this, but we often use those words or something like it. I believe that these three or these six aspects should give you a richer understanding of why we tag on these prayers, these words to our prayers. And so these three words are the most important words of all our prayers. Don't rush, don't mumble, relish them and declare them. They create the door frame in which we approach the God, our Father of heaven. Jesus has given us access. God loves us. He preserves us. He gives us safety, confidence that when we approach him because of Christ, and we have joy knowing that we are praying in Jesus' name. It fills our hearts to know that we are truly approaching a God who can answer our prayer. And I looked at the clock and I am done early. And I don't think anybody cares if I'm done early. However, that's all I had prepared. So I'll close with a word of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What an amazing opportunity we've had tonight, our Father, to hear you through Jesus's very words, that you hear our prayers, that you answer our prayers. We have confidence that you hear and know all our needs. We are grateful that we have access to your throne. We come humbly to praise you, to exalt your holy name, to lay down our petitions and our supplications on a regular basis. And we are so grateful that Jesus, our Lord, your Son, our Savior, made all this possible. praise, honor, glory be unto you. Help us, Lord, in our prayer life. Help us take the exhortation from this morning and apply it to not neglect our corporate prayer and our private prayer. To know that it is important, fundamental. It's the heartbeat. And so we are grateful that you've taken this day to remind us that this is not a tag-on aspect of our worship. It is vital to our life as a church, as a people. And so we come bow down before you with love, appreciation. We adore you and thank you. Hear our prayer. Send your Spirit to guide us the rest of our days to pray often with confidence in Jesus' holy name. Amen.